Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When I pray in the beginning of service, I ask the Lord to try to give me something in conjunction to go along with the sermon, the subject. And as I was, it's about righteousness and justice. So I was looking up righteousness. Have you ever, I have a King James Version of the Bible, New King James, excuse me. I turn to righteousness. Righteousness, righteous. Righteously, righteousness. I was blown away. If I counted it right, 74 listings in the concordance. More than any other scripture in the Word, in my Bible, anyway. Righteously, righteousness. Evidently, that's pretty important. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, wow. But, so I'm going to read all 74 verses. I'll read this one here, out of 2 Corinthians 5:17, or 5:21, excuse me. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Jesus. So that's a, right there is the gospel, actually. Jesus took all our sin so we could have His righteousness, the righteousness of God in Him, because the Word says all of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So Jesus took all that for us.
Amen.
And it's just an amazing thing to look at all these listings of righteousness, righteous, but right there in one verse, the righteousness of God in Him, Jesus made that possible for us.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you for that. But as far as these declarations that Marie is talking about in Job, it says, declare a thing and it shall come to pass.
Amen.
It might come to pass, possibly might get God's attention. Noah says it will come to pass. So I think that's a great thing. I pray that people around the earth, like Marie said, believers around the earth, this is spreading, and especially in this country.
Yes.
The United States is declaring things that it always seems like the enemy has strikes first and has this much of an attack. Where the Lord comes along and defeats that, but just this much, you know.
Amen.
Where it says somewhere here, the attack comes from seven different directions, or from seven directions, right?
Yep.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
And the Lord disperses that in one boom. Or it comes in one direction, and the Lord disperses that in seven directions. That's the word. So it's just a little bit of the word, a little bit of the Lord just blows away Satan's entire agenda like that.
Amen.
So,
hallelujah.
We are encouraged to pray and declare these things because the Lord works through us. You know, you would wish. How many times have we wished Lord, why don't the Lord take care of that? Lord God, take care of that. Just do that, this and that. But that's, he does act sovereignly sometimes, I believe. And I think we can see that in everyday life and throughout history.
Amen.
But he works through us. He works through us. We're the body. We're the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears of the Lord. So it's up to us. And, Father God, I am so thankful that my righteousness of God comes from Jesus.
Amen.
My faith in Jesus makes me worthy. Nothing of my own doing makes me worthy, but
Amen.
What Jesus did for me. I thank you, mighty God, that we have attained righteousness through him. All our sin, our impurities, our iniquities were poured out on him. He took them on the cross and defeated them and wiped the slate clean for us. What an awesome act of love and mercy, Father God. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for that righteousness that we attained from him. And in his holy name, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, these are 12 degrees for a firewall intercessors. 12 degrees for the United States of America and really for the earth, but it's mainly pointed toward the United States. Number one, in Jesus' name, I decree that the USA is turning to God, embracing the truth of his word and lawfulness, respecting authority.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, in Jesus' name, I decree that the active, holy, and powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit is visiting every individual in the USA, drawing souls into true encounters with Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Totally within his realm. If he knows every hair on every head in the United States of America, he can visit every person in the United States. In the spirit, touch their soul.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that all who serve the USA in government positions are visited by the righteousness, the truth, and justice of God, and that they live in the fullness of Christ's wisdom in all they do. I decree that any corruption in government will be exposed and dealt with in wisdom and righteousness in order for the nation to be cleansed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that the education leaders, systems, and institutions of the USA are being filled with kingdom values, wisdom, conviction, and truth.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that the body of Christ in the USA is actively walking with and serving the Lord with fullness of focus, sincerity of faith, and in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that those who live in the USA are kept in good health. In good health.
Amen.
And are offered excellent health services and care. Hello, Mr. President. Hello, Congress. Wake up. We should have one, right? We should have a good health care in this United States.
Amen.
I decree that all will live in health and strength of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that the media in the United States communicates godly morals, values, and truth, and that the gospel is favored in the media.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that every godly business and enterprise flourishes in the United States, and every corrupt business and enterprise as exposed and fails. I decree prosperity and fruitfulness in my nation as a result of godliness in order for every individual to have all they need. Amen. In Jesus' name, I decree that marriages, come on, marriages, don't hear much about marriages anymore, and families in the United States are blessed with love, joy, and peace, and that every home is filled with the goodness of God. And I decree that every life conceived is honored, embraced, and protected with love and respect. Amen. Yeah, every time I turn on the news, it's all I hear is about kids being abused, murdered, whatever. It just makes me sick. In Jesus' name, I decree that the body of Christ is mobilized into the harvest field in the United States to bring forth more fruit or much fruit. Amen. Come on, mobilize. In Jesus' name, I decree that righteousness thrives in my nation and in every realm of life, and that lawlessness and corruption will have no place. Amen. And number 12, in Jesus' name, I decree that love is the greatest aim of all Americans.
Amen.
And mutual love and honor and respect are shown to all people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is Lord over the United States of America. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 89:1-20. Remembering the covenant with David and the sorrows of his lost blessings. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever, and build up your throne to all generations. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging sea of the seas, and then the waves rise and you still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces, as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth is also yours. The world in all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Amen.
What the Lord placed on my heart is this is part two of spiritual warfare. The very first one that I did had to do with virtue. And it had to do with that in this society when everything is crazy and everything and everybody condones to what is going on in the world, truthfully, it is really sad. It is really sad that we have so much sexual promiscuity. We have homosexuality. We have abortion. We have filthy and terrible language that is going on all the time. And those are things of the world. And that doesn't make us righteous. That makes us join the world. It's when we can be set apart and not be a part of that at all. And that was my first part. And I was very, very amazed at how many people listened to that on Facebook and podcasts and got back with me on some of it. And so that's really exciting that something is sticking. Well, this is part two. And the Lord kept on talking to me about truth and talking to me about righteousness and talking about that this is all foundations to his throne. The one thing that I put down here is that we found that a Greek definition talked about moral goodness. We are to try to have moral goodness. We're to try to do things right. And when we do things wrong, what I was always taught was you repent, you give it to the Lord, and you move on. There are people that are so feel so guilty about something that they did wrong. And what happens is they go further and further away from the Lord. And that is not what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to repent and go forth in Him. So anyways, we talked about the need of Christians to strive for moral excellence. And so anyways, my daughter sent me a picture that she put on our web, and I was really excited about it because it showed truth on the top and righteousness on the bottom, and it was magnificent. And it showed that when the light of Jesus comes into our lives, it changes us. It changes us to do what is right. In Philippians 2:15, it says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are to be the light in the darkness. I don't know about you, but I had this really cheap little flashlight, and it was really dark. And when I flickered that thing, I could really, really see my way, see what I was supposed to do. Just one little tiny light. You might not think that you're important, but God wants you to know that you're important and that you're to have the light of Him inside of you, and you're to let it shine out. It could be a good word. It could be a word of encouragement. It could just be who you are in Jesus Christ. But I really feel that there's a challenge that God has for us. And that challenge is to become more pure. And that purity can only come from dwelling in His presence and allowing the Holy Spirit to change us. Now, I don't know about you. Many times I've gone before the Lord and I said, well, I'm not such a bad person. But you know, according to the Word of God, we are filthy rags. Filthy rags. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross, you and I could not get pure, more pure every day. One of the things that I thought was so important is that we are to meet this challenge even in society. And we have to understand and build up our lives on truth. Now, my husband, Joe, gets really upset when I mention his name. But I can truthfully tell you that he is a person that stands by his word, and he's ticked a lot of people off because he makes you stand by your word. Amen. So that's one thing that I personally have admired in the 40 years that I've been married to my husband, that when he says something, he stands by it, and I've never seen him back off of it. Now, I have. I'll find an excuse, or I'll say, we need to look at this. And Joe always says, no, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to say. And this is what we're going to stand by. And I really respect that. Out of all these years, that is the truth. So I do compliment him, which makes him mad. But the important thing is this, that we are to raise godly children who will grow up as mature adults, abounding in moral excellence. And this might seem so minor, but it isn't minor. But I remember when our grandsons were here, we were out fishing, and one of them caught a bass. And I thought, oh yeah, a bass. Mm-hmm, good food. And my son and my husband said they threw it back in. Why would you throw it back in? It looked okay, Well, because number one, it wasn't the right inches that it's supposed to be, and number two, this wasn't passes. So I had my little podium time. And Joe goes, I can't believe you're saying that. I said, we need it. You see, that's what I meant by integrity. What Joe was trying to say to me is he knew he wasn't supposed to keep it. Our son knew he wasn't to keep it. And here was our grandson that learned what was right. Does that get home?
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes, I know it's maybe a stupid example, but that's the best I can give. It's like they stood on what they were supposed to do as being right, so that our grandson would not learn wrong. You know, kids are confused today. They don't know what is okay to do and what's not okay to do. Well, you know, my mom did tell me that was bad to do that, but, you know, would it really hurt if I just did? And what I'm finding is that there's such a compromise. And I really believe that what the Lord is asking for, even in these end times, and in these times before his return, is we have to be true. We have to be true. The word says, don't do this if you know it's wrong. And so that example I gave, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share it because it was something simple, but yet now our grandson knows, hey, there's a certain time that you can fish, and there's a certain time you can catch bass, and there's a certain time, are you kind of with me? And so that was just something very simple, but it showed excellence. It showed that he would know the next time himself, and it would have an influence on him. What I'm trying to say is that the Lord kept on talking to me about truth and righteousness. You know, we can't be righteousness in ourselves. None of us. And what the Lord meant by that is we can only be righteous because of the blood of Jesus. We are all sinners, saved by grace. Thank you, Lord. I'm born again, so I don't desire those things. Are you hearing me? When you're born again and you want to do what's right, you want to be righteous, you want to do truth, you don't want to do those things of the world. You make a choice. And one choice that I can truthfully give you is that I worked with many people that drank. And they would still ask me to go certain places with them, but I didn't participate in that. They let me be a part of what they were doing. We had a good time, but I didn't have to do that. I could still have a good time without drinking. I can have a good time with people that I know that smoke all the time, just smoke, 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 smoke. And I say, whoa, man, I can't breathe. But I know for me, being born again, I don't want to partake in that. Do you understand that? And I really believe that the Lord is asking all of us to make a choice. Are we going to follow the world, what the world does, or are we going to follow what his word says? And I think that is so very important. In Proverbs, well, I'll give you this too. In Psalms 89:14, where just before Karen left off, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne room. Mercy and truth go before your face. Do you know what? When I was a little girl, I could not understand why Jesus would come and willingly die on the cross for me. Or other people, I just couldn't. And I had a wonderful pastor who said this to me, that no one can stand before God that is full of sin, or who has no righteousness, or who has not been purified by the fire of God. And it's not in a condemning way. When you stand before God, he doesn't see your sin no more because you are born again. So there are many preachers that teach, hey, we're all sinners. Well, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not. And it's an important concept to have up here, because if you've given your life to the Lord and you're born again, you're not a sinner. Because you're not part of the world. And when you do something wrong in the world, you're to repent and move forward. That is so, so important. So when we stand before the Lord, it says His mercy is before us. Thank gosh for mercy and grace. And it's so misused, mistaught. But thank goodness for that, that we can say, whoa, man, I just blew that. I just told that person where to fly yesterday. Because they ticked me off. And then you kind of feel like, oh my gosh, why did I tell that person where to go? Lord says to repent of that. He gives mercy and grace for that in you to move forward. And not to do it again. Isn't that powerful? You know, it's like, wow. I guess the Lord has spoke so much to me about that. Like how much He forgave me. Why can't I forgive other people? Why can't I let things just go and give them to Him? Why do I beat myself up all the time? Come on, let's get real here this morning. In Proverbs 14:22, it says, do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belongs to those who want to do good. We must understand that we are in a battle for truth and righteousness. What is real? I don't know about you guys, I question that all the time. Is that for real or not? Satan is desiring to steal truth from this land. Because when he does, he has stolen our virtues. So what do I mean by this? Do you know that when Jesus was brought before Pilate, there was some interesting conversation that went on concerning what is truth? John 18, verse 37 through 38, if you want to turn to it or just listen and refer back to it, I don't know. John 18, verse 37 through 38. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you shall rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is a truth, who wants to know truth, will hear it. And will hear his voice. Pilate said to him, well, what the heck's truth? Couldn't we say that today? It's truth. And he said, this is what he said. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, you know, I don't find no fault in this man. That's what Pilate said. You want to do a good study, study Pilate. A lot of historians believe that his wife was a believer. Some might think that Pilate was being facetious. But I think he was serious. Because without an absolute source of truth and the absolutes that come forth from it, that's what happens with truth. What constitutes truth anyways? Power? Rome was a nation of power people during this time of history, and therefore dictated what truth was. Without the acknowledgement of God, who is the source of all truth, there is no such thing as truth. We are becoming a godless society. When I hear different things that are going on, and certain things that people have gone to court for, and they've done the best that they can do, it doesn't, and the truth comes out, there are some people that no one believes. people don't believe the story. Truth is truth. Judges 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, and everybody did what was right in their eyes. Oh, don't that sound like the world today? Hey, I think this is okay. This is cool. This is what I'm going to do. I used to hear this so much from kids that I could do what I wanted to do. No one's going to stop me from doing what I'm going to do. But in my years that I worked with kids, I found that even when they had that kind of attitude, there was still that small remnant that wanted discipline. And that discipline moved on to other people as well. It kind of like snowballed. But isn't this where our society is today? When I heard, and I know we're on Facebook, and I hope it's still going, that the governor or whoever of California felt that churches didn't need to go on. I couldn't believe that. That churches was the problem.
Churches are the answer.
And churches is the answer. And truthfully, it's Jesus who's the answer.
Amen. Amen, amen.
We no longer are being governed by Christian values that our country grew up with. We're living in a day which we have repudiated these values as old-fashioned. I've heard that from kids. You know, what do they call that old-school stuff? They are no longer relevant for our times, so they say God has been legislated out of our school system. I remember when I started in the school system, well, I could talk about God, I could talk about Jesus, I could do this, I could keep a Bible on my desk, I could at least make comments to kids. Hey, nobody was helping them, even the counselors. Well, who could help those kids was Jesus Christ. Why are you cutting yourself? Why are you trying to, or you want to commit suicide? Why do you want your life shortened? God has a destiny and a plan for everyone.
Amen.
Everyone that's even seated in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, I can remember in the early days when I was like in my 20s that we would go, God bless America. You know, they want to take out God. They don't do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. Dear gosh, don't pledge yourself to God. I'm telling you right now, he's the only answer, and he's the only way, and he's the only thing that stands for truth in our world today.
Amen.
Amen. So even God has been legislated out of our school system and other areas of society, and truth just isn't important anymore. Because of this today, our youth are facing a crisis of truth because they don't know what it is. Truth to them is a matter of taste, touch, what I want. They don't even get it. They do not have moral absolutes. Dear gosh, they only have core values that are embedded in humanistic belief that we came from a monkey. Come on. Oh, we don't even need the Constitution anymore. They've taken it out of history books. The liberal education has crept in, but the church is asleep and does nothing about it. And even doing sex education classes. I'm telling you, what happened to just saying, hey, how about not doing it until you get married? What happened to marriages? You're supposed to be one body, one flesh. And your ring, which is a circle, means that you're joined with your husband, but with Jesus Christ. I'm so serious today. I'm so serious of what the Lord has been showing me that truthfully it makes me ill. There is a foundation of truth. Check out your own hearts. What is God trying to tell you today? In John 14, 6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes through the Father except through Jesus Christ. So it's not Muhammad, it's not the other gods that are out there. All you have to do is say, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. And you know what? We don't even know that we have till tomorrow to live. We don't. We don't know when he's coming back. We need to be so sold out that we want to reach other people and tell them about Jesus. And I don't really care if they go word for word on Romans 8 or not. All that I want them to do is to call on his name, know he died for them, know he's coming back. It's that simple. And stop doing the sin you're doing. It's that simple. Jesus is the source of all truth. All truth proceeds from him and established upon his words and his commands. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that he gave us the Holy Spirit inside of us and outside of us to do what he wants us to do. Hallelujah. And if you're a person that has not learned the heavenly language of who Jesus Christ is, and you can communicate with the Father, you shouldn't leave this church today. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that's going to guide you. He's the only one that's going to direct you. And he doesn't do it in a condemning way. He does it in a way that he wants you to change. Jesus still says, I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. Yep, you blew it. But you know what? I still love you. Come on. He takes us by the hand and he takes us where we're supposed to go. I don't know about you. That's powerful to me. So he gives us a Holy Spirit to lead us in all truth. That's what the word says. In John 18, 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is coming. Get yourself right. Get yourself ready. This is not the time to be complacent, doing nothing. This is the time to be the warrior bride. That's why I'm doing it in October. This is the time to put on your combat boots. This is the time to say, not my family, not on my watch, not my friends, not my church. You have no power and authority, Satan. You got to get bold enough to do that. And you know what? It's not my job to do it. It's not Joe's job to do it. It's your job to do it for yourself. You're the bride. Each one of you got to get in that word. If you do nothing but get those declarations out and start saying those declarations, I'm going to tell you, that's fire. That's the word. That's setting our nation free. I'll give you another one. John 17 through 19. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word, this word right here, I love holding this up. This word is true. This isn't up and down. It's truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. He wants us to be the light in the world. Here again, we see a foundation of truth again. Holiness. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in what? In righteousness. Isn't that powerful? I'll give you another one. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Vicki told me, don't take down that heart. It talks about love. Love your neighbor as yourself. That had been real difficult for me this week. It was so noisy. So much chaos. The Lord said, just love upon them. Lift them up to me. Pray for their safety. Pray for a blessing. Are you hearing me? So what happens if we don't do truth? This is all about anyways. Our society basically rejected the morals and values of being a Christian. Our world does. And what happens when these truths and values are denied? Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets. This shows us how much the foundation of truth is important for basic morals, basic values. We see this as we wonder why today's youth are growing up without values and morality, why the world is growing up with no values. Is it their fault? No. We try to put the blame on them, like if we blame the kids. I love the kids. I'll take an army full of kids before I'm taking an army of old people. You know why? Because once they get the truth, once they know how much God loves them, I don't know how to explain it, but they're ready to march for the Lord no matter what's in front of them. Nothing's going to hold them back. So half of the things that happen to kids, it's not their fault. So why do we put the blame on the kids? Why do we put the blame on something else? And truthfully, the blame belongs on us. Have we done what is right? Have we done what is to help them? Have we told them the truth about God? Or have we compromised? Our whole system, our whole society has just become a cesspool of violence. Everybody blaming somebody else. Well, you're black and I'm white, and you believe this way and I believe that way, and churches are asleep because they don't want to deal with it. But you know what? God is saying, get righteousness, get right. Stop being corrupted by the world. You know what is right, and you need to stand in that. You need to stand on this word. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to people. Before we can truly or really make any changes in society, we read those firewalls. How do we make a change politically? It's so corrupt. And justice system and culture. The foundation of truth has to be restored. We must come back to the absolute biblical authority, recognizing that God is the answer to this society. So what is spiritual warfare and truth? We must realize that the real war with Satan isn't just abortion, homosexuality, murder, drugs, gang violence, corrupt morals. They are symptoms and spoils of the war over truth. Satan's battle is with truth because he knows he cannot stand in the midst of what is true. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Come on. Satan cannot stand it. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. So who was Satan? He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth because there was no truth found in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks it from his own resource. For he is a liar, and he is noted as the father of lies. In the Garden of Eden, he said to Eve in the garden, did God really say that? Did you really hear God say that? Doesn't he do the same to you today? Did God really tell you to do that, Karen? Hey, Laura, were you really supposed to read your Bible down at the beach? Are you really for sure that was of God? Haven't you ever had that double thing like, ooh, is that God speaking to me? Or, But I want you to know that Satan loves to distort the truth. He even said to Jesus, he tried telling Jesus that if he is really the Son of God, take these stones and make it into bread. Come on, if you're really Jesus, come on here. And Jesus told him not to tempt him again. Since the whole world lies in a lap of evil, what is your part in it? Your part in it is to speak the truth and be covered with the righteousness of God. Isn't that powerful? Can you get the message from the Holy Spirit today? How far are we going to listen to the lies of Satan saying that the United States is hopeless? We did these decrees on purpose, declaring that the United States is going to turn back to God. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Universities. Oh, my gosh. I was so thankful. I had great professors. I went to three, I don't even know how many colleges I've been to, but quite a few universities. I had 7 years of college. I can tell you the universities I liked, the ones I didn't. I had great professors. But I was so happy that I had the foundation of truth, which was the Word of God. Because when they said something, or that, I came from a monkey or whatever, I wasn't any true. Or when my philosophy teacher, he was so wonderful. He said, Marie, he goes, you know, if you can defend what you believe in. I didn't know if I could defend what I believed in, but I could tell you that I knew Jesus was real. And the Holy Spirit guided me. I wrote many, many papers. I worked with people who were atheists for years. And I'm telling you that they were so lost. And so I want to encourage everybody that's in this place, everybody that's listening on Facebook, give your heart to the Lord and stand for truth and let righteousness be the shield that is all around you, the truth. Don't let Satan steal the things that God has for your life. I know it's warm, but if you just give me a few things, I kind of step some statistics down here. And talking in Christian homes and interviewing kids, they said two out of three people had lied to their parents. That's 66%. Out of 10 people, 6 kids said they lied to their peers just so they could fit in, or, hey, they found them cool. And then it lasted over 3 months. 2 out of 3 kids cheated on exams. 1 in 5 intentionally tried to hurt someone because it was cool. 1 out of 4 tried to emotionally hurt someone. 5%, I think it's even a little higher today, but 5% have tried or attempted suicide because they thought no one loved them. I want everyone to know that Jesus loves you. And if you're trying to meet the expectations of man or a person or the world. It'll let you down, but Jesus takes you just the way you are. Most of the kids that I've talked to over the years told me they didn't believe there was anything about truth. What was truth? They didn't even know truth anymore. It is so amazing to find how many youth ministers, their call to be a youth minister never makes it for a very long period of time. Most of them do it for a period of time and then they're done. Our future is our youth. The next generation and the older generation coming together in this mighty army is so important, people. We have something to give them. We can teach them the foundation of truth. We need to impact our kids. And so in closing, I want to say this. Ask the Lord who you should reach out to, who you should speak truth to, who you can be the light for. So may I encourage every one of you to know, what is your giftings? What can you give? There are certain things that some of you can do that there is no way that I can do it. Each one of us are important to the Lord, and He wants to give us that foundation of truth and righteousness so we can be the light in the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, I ask you to seal these messages. I know there's one more that deals with this topic. And, Father, I'm praying right now that you will help each one of us be strong in you and realize that we can be the light in this darkness. We can be the light in this nation. We can be the light in the United States of America, Father, and that we can boldly do what is right and stand for what is right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Rivers of living water, before Joe talks, it says, the poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. Children seek what is truth, and it's not, they don't know what is truth. Their tongues fail for thirst, and I, the Lord, will hear them, will you? I, the Lord of Israel, will not forsake the children, and I will not forsake you. And I will open rivers in desolate heights, and fountains in the midst of the valley. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land spring of my living waters. Speak my truth. Behold what has been said to you. This is the moment to lift up your voice and cry out for me, for my great name. And my glory will come.